Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. Hope your week is going well so far. It's a beautiful day out there. Happy to be here this Wednesday, June 18th. And standing by to join me is Babs Walters. She's the author of Facing the Jaguar with She Writes Press. The book is out June 17th. It's a powerful memoir on surviving childhood sexual abuse in which Babs shares her story of healing after 70 years of secrecy. Just a trigger warning, this memoir contains references to domestic violence and childhood sexual abuse that may be disturbing or triggering to some listeners. This is a true story of her lived experience and memory, and to protect the privacy of the individuals involved, many of the names have been changed. It is my pleasure to welcome this week's show, Babs Walters. Good morning, Babs.
Good morning, Janine.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and it's afternoon where I'm calling from.
Where are you located?
Florida.
Where in Florida? I've been there many times.
I'm in the southeast, probably right next to West Palm Beach.
Beautiful. Nice. Is it steamy hot?
Yes. Right now it's 90 degrees.
Whoa. Yes. Well, stay cool.
Thank you.
First of all, I let listeners know, you know, trigger warning, that there are references to domestic violence and childhood sexual abuse. And if it is disturbing, you know, please, don't listen now, or you can always come back to this later. This will be up as a podcast within an hour after we wrap up. So I'm a writer, and I know, you know, there are times I think, oh, I want to write about this, but it's a tough subject or it's painful. How did you come to the point where you wanted to tell your story?
Well, I've actually been wanting to tell this story since I was 11 years old. So it's taken me quite a while. But one funny story is when I was in my 40s, I took a course at NYU, a novel writing course, because I thought it would be easier to tell the story in a fictionalized version.
Okay.
And protect my vulnerability a little bit. And I was accepted into the course. I wrote 3 chapters and an outline. And after a few classes, the professor came to me and told me that I needed to go home, that even war and peace had some peace in it, and that I was so angry that nobody would be able to read the book.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What did
so,
you think?
A lot of healing. Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sure. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I was very hurt because here I was finally putting it down on paper. But the truth is that I realized I needed to do some more healing.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that it took me this long, because healing is not a destination. You know, people don't realize that when you have complex PTSD, mm-hmm. it's something that happens to you continuously. That's what the C stands for. It's not like war veterans that come home and the war has stopped for them. This right. is something that is in your cellular memory. And as I said, it's a journey, not a destination. Healing continues for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. It sure does. So tell me the process for writing this book, because it's not easy.
Okay. I met somebody online who had just written her own memoir, and it was on a similar subject. So I reached out to her, and out of her kindness, she got back to me, and she told me what her process had been. She had taken a course called Write Your Memoir in 6 Months, and that's what propelled her to the point that she's now a TEDx speaker and way out there talking about sibling sexual abuse. So I contacted the people that she had taken the course with, and I signed up for it myself. And after the 6 months, I still didn't have a memoir, so I re-upped, and I took it for another 6 months.
Okay.
And over that period of time, I got to work with 2 mentors, and each one made a significant contribution in the final product that you see today.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I also find it interesting, and I found this in my own writing, that I tend to spin things into fiction, maybe because I don't want to put the whole story out there, and it it feels better to just take these little pieces that really happened and spin it into a fictional story. But in the end, what does it feel like to have put the real story out there?
Well, you know, I joke around. I feel like I'm naked in front of the world because I have told the truth as I experienced it. Mm-hmm. And if I was going to be this vulnerable, I should have chosen the time in the life in my life when I thought I looked better.
Oh, stop.
But that's just adding humor to it. The bottom line is that even when you are doing a non-fictionalized story, when you're telling your experience, there's no way, Janine, that you can remember word for word every conversation or every reaction or what people were wearing. So in some part, we're taking the highlights that have made deep memories for us, and we're putting ourselves back and reenacting them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you actually have to connect things that you may not have connected at that moment, but after quite a few years of therapy, you learn that, oh, gee, that's really what happened there.
Yes.
So it's like a puzzle. And you probably know from your own writing, whether you're writing nonfiction or fiction,
mm-hmm.
that you're putting the pieces together, and that's what makes the story.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So what does the jaguar symbolize in your story? Is it fear, transformation?
Well, at the time, I didn't even know it was happening to me. I had been so disassociated from the circumstances of my life that the only way I could survive my father's nightly visits was to run in a jungle being chased by this wild animal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that that's what I was doing. I just knew that this animal was chasing me to the point that I was running out of breath, that I was exhausted, that I had to keep going, that I couldn't stop until he stopped. And after years of therapy, I learned that one of the things that people do when they're in a traumatic moment is they disassociate in order to survive.
Yes.
So the jaguar was this demon, and I have a couple of confrontations with the actual person who was represented by the jaguar, and that's really what my story is about, confronting that memory.
Mm-hmm. Could you share with listeners a little bit more about disassociation?
Yeah. You know, I noticed that when I finished my memoir that there were quite a few chapters about dreams that I recalled that I had many times over my life. And this was my subconscious helping me through some really dark times. So, for example, one of the dreams is early on in the book is a firing squad and my mother and my sister and I in front of them. And as the commander shouts his orders, my mother pushes my sister and I forward and bends down and crouches behind us. And mm-hmm. I never knew with that dream all my life what it really meant. So my subconscious was at work.
Sure.
Another time I had a dream that the police came and told me that my husband had been killed. And I was so happy because I so wanted to get out of that marriage.
Mm.
But, you know, one of my therapists said to me, the planet is big enough for the two of you to live without without him having to die.
Sure.
So disassociation is something that doesn't happen at a conscious level. It's a way that you're brain separates you from the fear and the pain. And I guess that was part of my healing process too, to your other point, Janine,
mm-hmm.
that I had a lot of work to do before I could get to this point today.
Did you ever do EMDR therapy? Like, what was your process for working through this?
Well, I call myself a self-help junkie. I did the S training. I did Ira Prokof's work. I did Tony Robbins' work. I mean, I did not do the EMDR,
mm-hmm.
but I did a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy.
Okay.
I probably have read everything or listened to everything that I could. I'm still on that journey, and it excites me to keep learning and keep making connections. I am a puzzle solver.
You are, yes.
Yeah.
I sense that. It's interesting how we walk through life thinking we're fine. we're fine, we're fine. We don't realize that we're not fine and that our past trickles into everything we do, our relationships, the way we communicate, the way we handle conflict, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was telling somebody a story this morning because it was the first person who read the book and called me like instantly. And she asked me, do I think that I was walking around vulnerable and that's why other people took advantage of me? And I definitely think so. I mean, I was taught at a very early age that the people who are supposed to protect you and take care of you and love you abuse you. So that's what I knew.
Interesting.
But the other thing, and this was a shock to her, is after a while you have to ask yourself, or maybe you don't have to, but I did.
Okay.
What was the common denominator here? And in every one of those relationships, I was there.
Mm.
And if I didn't like what was happening, I needed to take a look at what part I was playing in that.
I see. Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. More healing, you know, it's just
yes.
another layer
yes.
peeling off.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Babs Walter. She's a speaker, advocate, and author, as well as a survivor of domestic violence and childhood sexual abuse. And she brings difficult subjects to the surface through the power of storytelling. And we're talking about her latest book. And congratulations, because it just came out yesterday, correct?
Yeah.
Did it come out?
Actually, yesterday. Yeah,
June 17th. It's called Facing the Jaguar, Memoir of Courage and Confrontation. There's so much I want to ask about this book. But do you feel that it was very cathartic for you to finally get this, you know, and did more memories surface as you were writing?
That was a good question. Yeah, and as a writer, you probably experienced that yourself. I didn't realize how cathartic it was going to be. I knew that it would be, but I didn't realize how, because I've been doing a lot of speaking engagements,
mm-hmm.
and after every one of them, Janine, a number of people will come up to me and tell me their secrets. Now, yeah. their family secret is not necessarily the same as mine.
Sure.
But they're all the kinds of things you don't talk about at the dinner table, you know,
yes.
like
yeah.
bankruptcy or suicide or
yes.
abortion. So I'm grateful that in my telling that I'm serving the purpose that I wanted to, because mm-hmm. my goal when I was 11, and this was probably the hardest part of my childhood, was feeling so alone in the world.
Mm.
Like there was nobody that I could talk to who would understand or help me. And I just wanted to know at that point that my voice would help some other little girl not feel so all alone.
Yeah.
So it's taken me a long time, so I'm not really talking to little girls anymore.
Right.
But it's so powerful to see the light bulbs turn on for people when they get it and they realize that it's okay to speak their truth.
Yes.
That there's a witness there, somebody who will listen and care. And even though I don't have answers for them, which whatever is going on, I came out the other side. And that alone is an example. But I think that the biggest cathartic moment for me in the finishing of the book is seeing my parents with some grace mm. that I could not when I lived with them or when they were alive.
Wow. Whew. I mean, that's so much like personal growth. And yeah, I mean, it's so hard being a child and feeling so alone and going through all that. And you never told a friend or anyone.
Well, I told my first friend when I was 14, which was 3 years after it was happening,
mm-hmm.
and she couldn't figure out what to do, you know.
Of course.
Then I, when I was in high school, I told the teacher, and he tried to sexually take advantage of me. I told the rabbi when I tried to get my sister out of the house,
mm-hmm.
and he said that Jewish fathers don't do those things, and he wouldn't believe me. So clearly, I was choosing people to tell.
Yeah.
That really were not equipped to do anything.
No. And they didn't believe you.
Yeah, and you know, one of my most recent therapists said to me, the subject matter itself is very messy,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard for people to get involved. It's not a simple, okay, we're just going to take this child out of the house and everything's going to be fine.
Right.
It doesn't work like that.
No, it's deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting. People have their own discomfort. I remember I wrote my second book, and it was about the mental health pandemic, and I would approach bookstores, and they'd say, oh, we already covered that. And I thought, mental health isn't the flavor of the month. The people are always struggling, you know, and always looking for comfort, and it's a mindset. You know, there's so much stigma. I would imagine, as you continue, because your book just came out yesterday, you're going to also get a lot of tears and people needing hugs, or you're hugging them, or whatever. I'm sure you've already seen a lot of emotions.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was just talking to my husband about, I had a woman throw herself at me after a speaking engagement last week.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't stop sobbing, and she was all over me, you know? And it's a good thing that I was able to receive her. If she had done that years ago, I might not have been able to have somebody in my personal space like that.
Right.
But I wasn't able to help her. So we decided that I needed to make a list of resources for people with different problems.
Exactly.
So that I can direct them. You know, you mentioned RAIN before.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to the Incest Aware Alliance also. So there are organizations that I'm familiar with because I'm involved with them. But some of these other problems are new to me, and I want to be able to point people in at least a direction that might be useful to them. So okay. I have this list now.
Could you share that list? There's RAIN. What was the other one?
The Incest Aware Alliance.
Okay.
That's a great one for anybody who's had a similar experience, because there are about 150 members, and they're all advocates. Most of them are survivors themselves. There are some people that just work in the arena that, God bless them, it hasn't happened to them, but they want to keep children safe.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many free resources there.
That's great. I'm going to put this on the show blog next to your book. So,
and one of the places that I highly recommend is called Brave Voices.
Okay.
And they record people's stories for the Library of Congress. And I recorded mine, and I interviewed two other people. So I'm now one of the designated interviewers if anybody would like to share their story for posterity.
That is amazing. How long are the stories?
The interviews themselves last 45 minutes.
Okay.
And the questions are all predetermined beforehand, so people know what they are comfortable speaking about, mm-hmm. and are not surprised by any questions, unless they'd like their interview to be that way.
Sure.
And it started me. That was the first time that I made a recording, except I did it commercial for RAIN earlier.
Okay. So tell me more about RAIN.
Well, RAIN is the Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. And they are the largest national network. And they're a nonprofit, too. But they are an anti-sexual assault organization. That's how they set themselves up. And they, through their donations, they have volunteers who can tell their stories, and they share them both in writing and orally. And they use their money that they've raised to fight for legislation that would make a difference in sexual assault cases and help save children and adults who are being abused.
That's beautiful. And it's RAINN.
Two N's. .org.
.org. Okay. What about Brave Voices? Is that in .org too?
I don't have it right in front of me,
but
I will send it to you as soon as the show is over.
That's fine. That's perfect. Are you thinking about maybe a follow-up book or retreats, or what do you envision?
Well, given that my one of the mentors in that 6-month course had me end the book as a coming-of-age story,
mm-hmm.
I have 2/3 of my life still to tell. So there is the potential for 2 more books. But my goal at this point, Jeanine, and thank you so much for bringing me along with your listeners, my goal is to speak to as many people as I can. So selling of books is wonderful if that gets the message out. But speaking to people and seeing their reactions and answering their questions not only helps those people who have family secrets that they've been burdened by and shamed and guilted by that weren't theirs in the first place, it also raises awareness. And before you can have any change, people need to be conscious. And to your point about going to bookstores with mental health stories, I mean, that's our job right now, just to raise that vibration and that consciousness.
Yes, absolutely. And to end the stigma, because people are really holding on to a lot of things, I think. You know, some people might think, Babs, you know, why do you want to tell this story? You know, so much later in life. And it's like, well, if you hold on to something, it feels like you're not truly living.
Wow, that's the voice of experience. Yeah. Well, for me, it's more that I made this promise to myself. As a child, I loved to read. And when there was nothing left to read, I read encyclopedias. And one day after the Incas of Peru, here I am, an 11-year-old child, reading encyclopedias, I find the term incest. And the definition terrified me because I thought that people who wrote encyclopedias were experts. And they said that what was happening to me was sexual relations between two people too closely related by blood to marry. Nowhere in it did it say the pain, the fear, my father telling me if I told anybody he'd kill me. I was like, I couldn't believe that the world thought that that's what was happening to me. And I made a promise that day that someday I would write this book. It's just taken me a really long time.
That's all right.
To get to the place where I can speak out about what happened and show people that I made it through.
And that's beautiful. And, you know, Babs, perhaps if you had written this earlier, it really wouldn't have been the story it is today.
That is definitely true. Remember, even War and Peace has some peace in it.
So anything else you'd like listeners to know?
Well, for me, I realized that telling is where I am. I was a stand-up and deliver corporate trainer and executive coach for 30 years. Not everybody can stand up and speak. So I encourage people to find the way that fits right for them and resonates for them if they're facing that kind of burden right now. And on my website, I have a 3-part checklist, how to tell when you're ready to tell. And it's free, so people can use that. But for someone who's listening and who's struggling with keeping it in, maybe the first step is just to write it on a piece of paper and tear it up into pieces and flush it down the toilet.
Yes. Yeah.
But somebody who's waking up every day and saying, I can't go another day like this, it's time to find somebody to help you, even if it's somebody you trust, a friend, a therapist, and maybe Brave Voices or RAIN or Incest Aware Alliance or any of the other hotlines that help people in distress. Maybe it's your time to tell, too.
Absolutely. You know, and also sometimes people cry because of their past and they don't truly know why. And when you peel back those layers, that's where the real healing begins.
Is that what EMDR did for you? Is that why you mentioned that before?
I haven't even started it yet, but that's just something on my own journey I've discovered. Because I asked myself, like I recently went to a place where my mother used to live in the Virgin Islands, and I got emotional, and I thought, why am I crying? Why? Like, what is the root of that? Is it missing the person? Is it missing what I wish I had had? You know, it's like peeling back the layers, trying to determine where is that emotion coming from and why.
Wow, you got a story there.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Yes. Anyway, I've loved this. Could you give your website, please, to listeners?
Yes, it's just babswalters.com. Very easy.
Okay. Great. And your book tour, is it virtual for now or local in Florida? Where is it?
Local and virtual, and then we're traveling north for 2.5 months.
Oh.
So we'll be on our way. Our first stop is Hilton Head. We're going to be doing a Barnes & Noble there on Hilton Head Island. And then we continue up. Our ultimate stopping place is the Berkshires. And then we take it back down on the road.
When you say we, are you in conversation with people at your book talks, or is it just you?
Yeah, my husband and I are traveling together, so that's what I meant by the we.
Okay.
And he interviews me unless there's other people who would like to take that role.
I love that. Love that. What does he think of this whole journey you've been on?
Let me tell you, that blows me away, Janine. I mean, I could stop crying right now. Jeff is my third husband, but he likes to call it is my last husband.
You saved the best for last.
Yeah. And no fault to the other two. I was a mess.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
But they just could not be the kind of people that would grow with me.
Mm-hmm.
And in their own fear, they pushed against my growth. So I had to get out of both of those marriages.
Yeah.
But he has not only supported me in so many ways, he's proud of me.
That's
somebody
beautiful.
Who's proud of what I've been through, and
yeah.
That blows me away.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing, by the way. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you so much. We've been in conversation with Babs Walters about her new book that came out yesterday, June 17th, Facing the Jaguar, a memoir of courage and confrontation. You can learn more if you visit our website, babswalters.com. And all of your information is on my show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. I want to thank you so much. And at some point, I would love to continue our conversation, maybe meet you in person.
Terrific. I'm all in.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you again, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Be well. Bye-bye. That was Babs Walters calling in. Again, we're talking about her book, Facing the Jaguar. It's a fantastic read, and I think you'll really enjoy it, especially for those of you who have been through something, whatever it is. And I'm going to put the resources that she mentioned up on the show blog. There's Rain, R-A-I-N-N. There's a few others. Again, they'll be up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to listen to a conversation I had with a previous guest. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.